won't you join me as we pray for them? So if you know any of these new members, if they've been to your life group, maybe if I could ask you to come up with them. If you are a life group leader and you just want to come up and stand with them, we'd love it if you did that. So I'm going to call out some names and let's welcome them into the life of the church. Billy and Nikki Herbst, Phyllis Ferreira, Carla Jacobs. Carla's been with us for a while, but finally took the plunge of becoming a member. Alistair Basudevu. I hope I've got that right, Alistair. Alistair and Kavashni Basudevu. Are they here? Yep, there they are. How's it, guys? And then Zama Zuma. That's like one of the best names ever, eh? Zama Zuma. Zama is studying at UKZN, eh? At the Pinetown campus. Oh, Howard College. Okay. Psychology. All right, why don't you stretch out your hands as we pray and welcome these guys into the life of the church. Lord, thank you so much for these gifts that you've added to this local house. Lord, we thank you that you promised that you would build your church. You are the builder of your church. And Lord, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would lead each and every one of these gifts into their place in the life of this church. Lord, that they would find a place of community. Lord, that they would find a place of adding their gift, that they can be a gift to other people, Father God. We pray, Lord, also teachability, Lord, as they come into a new house, Lord, maybe of understanding the new covenant for the first time. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would lead them as they hear this message and massage it into their souls, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you would give them friends, Lord, that would encourage them and spur them on in their walk with you, Father. Lord, we pray that because they have been added to this church, their walk in life would become so much more fulfilling, that they would find their place and their purpose here on earth because of what the community of this church can give to them. So we bless them and we welcome them into the life of this church this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. And please, church, do them a favor. And just if you see them in the coffee bar after the service, just welcome them, give them a big hug, and make them feel welcome as they are new to the church. Amen. And then, who's visiting with us this morning? First time this morning, I have some cappuccino vouchers. That should get your hands up. Right, so I see a couple of people that have already been here. We are doing medical prayer for people with amnesia after the service. Right, no, seriously, is there anyone here for the first time? You're visiting with us for the first time. We have a couple at the back. Welcome to you there, sir and ma'am. We have a gentleman over here. Welcome to you, sir. Welcome, welcome. And Steve Pilbro is going to hand out cappuccino vouchers for you guys. You have some more if you want. Is there anyone else? So we've got a gentleman over here, a couple at the back. Anyone else? And over there, do we have a gentleman? No, Ramon, please, brother. Just because you got a new car doesn't mean you're a new member. All right. Amen. You guys get a free cappuccino. You can go to the... That's great. I think that's it, eh, Steve? You can go to the cappuccino bar, grab a cappuccino, and then here at our visitors' lounge or the orange couches, you can find out more about the church, meet some of the leaders, and we'd love to chat with you there. All right. So, this morning, it's Father's Day. So I'm going to be sharing a message called Launching Off Father God's Launching Pad. All right. So I've got two parts to the message this morning. And part one is understanding our responsibility as fathers and what our Father God does for us. So obviously, as a father, speaking to the fathers, but as a mother, you can take encouragement from it as well. So don't switch off if you're a mom. And also, it's important, though, for all of us, whether you're a father, a mother, or not, to understand what Father God does for us. So I'm probably going to encourage a lot more from that angle of what God does for us as a father. And hopefully as we see what God has done for us as a father, we would be encouraged to be those kind of fathers to our children. Because we know that 1 John 4 says that we love because God loved us first. So the more we see what God has done for us, the easier it is to do the same for our children, spiritual or physical. And in the second part, we're going to continue with our series, if you like. Steve did say to me that we were going to kind of wrap it up this morning, but if I know Steve, he probably has some more to add on to it next week and the week after, so I thought so. We're going to continue with our series of Ephesians 2:10, which is finding the good works and stepping into the good works that God has for us. And what fathers do in that song, that beautiful dance that Hannah and Abigail did, is what fathers do is they release their children into their destiny. Fathers should be providing a platform for children to be released into their destiny. And so we're going to follow on from part one into part two, which is that our Father has launched us and has provided a platform for us to step into the purposes that He's designed for us. Amen. So, number one, part one, is understanding the responsibility that we have as fathers and what our Father has done for us. And the first part of that is, fathers give identity. And the way they give identity, I believe, is through unconditional love. Fathers love their children with an unconditional love. When you see your child for the first time, that child has not done anything for you. If anything, that child has drained already, before you've even seen that child, has drained all your wife's resources, all your wife's energy, and all your financial resources before you've even seen the child. But when you see that child, a love comes from within that you can't explain. And that child has done nothing. And that is the love of God. We don't do anything, and God loves us. And that love, that unconditional love, is what affirms identity. The more you love on your children just because they are your children, the more secure they will be, and they will grow up knowing who they are. We see in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus gets baptized, we pick it up in verse 16. Immediately Jesus went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and came to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And I love this because Jesus had not yet started his ministry. We know Jesus only started his ministry at this point, and he started praying for the sick, casting out demons and raising the dead from this point onward. So God the Father bellows from heaven that this is his Son with whom he is well pleased before he has done anything. And many of you wait to do something in the church before you feel like you're a good Christian. I want to tell you that the Father in heaven bellows from heaven over you, "You are my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." God loves you unconditionally. And the more you understand that, the more secure you will be as you face the challenges of this life. And now notice in chapter 4, it goes on to say that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I find that interesting, that God declares his unconditional love and pleasure over the Son, and then he goes to be tempted. And I want to tell you, if you want your children to face temptation, they need to know how much they are loved at home. When your children know how much they are loved at home, it is easier for them to face temptation because they know who they truly are. Their identity has been set from the love that we give them as mothers and fathers. And when they know that, they can face the challenges of this life. And sure, will they get it right all the time? Of course they won't. But the more they know that they can come back to daddy's arms and be real. Now, this is the thing that we have to understand as fathers, the more you can be real with your children, the less trouble they'll get into. Because if they just do, they start going down a bad road, you want them to be 100% honest with you. You want them to come back and say, you know what, Dad, I actually tried this and it actually did this for me. I was with this girl or I was with that guy and you know what, this is how they treat, this is how, you want them to be 100% honest with you. You want that relationship where they can be real with you, and when they are real with you, they know that they have a secure relationship and that their parents love them unconditionally. And when they know that mom and dad love them unconditionally, it will give them strength the next time they're in that situation. Because you don't want to get to a situation where your child is so far down the road of drugs and whatever, and they've tried this, this, and that, and then you find out, right? You want a transparent relationship with your kids, that they are speaking with you from day one. I don't know if I'm hearing a lot of the older generation going, whoa, I didn't think of that. Now, anyway, I guess that's a new generation thing. It goes on, we find 1 Samuel 17. This is one of my favorite examples of security. David says to Saul, obviously we know the story of Goliath standing and taunting the Israelite army. And David has come down, you know the story. And David says to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. I love this because we know that David was a shepherd boy in the mountains who just knew God. And it was that relationship with God in the mountains that knew that when a lion or a bear was coming after his flock, he could take them on. And because of that security in who he was as a son of God, he knew, what? A Philistine taunting the armies of the living God? No, man. I know my God. I know my father. Bring it on. It's like the little kids in school who go, my dad's bigger than your dad. And I really hope that my son doesn't do that because, as you can see, I'm not exactly the biggest guy around. I come from British blood, not so much Norwegian, you know, the Viking blood, the Northern European blood, which they wipe out pretty much anything in their path. But us Brits are just clever, right, Dave? We've got the brains, maybe not so much the brawn. Which is why I'm wearing an England jersey this morning. Obviously, it's Euros. And Joe the Scot is looking at me. You guys aren't even in Euros. So, you know, you got to support your land. And my son, if he says that, I'm in trouble. Because I'm not exactly going to go over to the bigger dad and be like, you know what your son did to my son, you know. But kids just think that their dad is everything, right? And you want your kids to think that when they get older as well. You don't want your kids to, you know, as kids get older, they start to doubt. They're like, oh, well, you know, my dad's not as strong as he looks. One day my son's going to figure that out. It's kind of sad. But I want him to know that I'm so for him that no matter what happens, he can come to me and he can speak to me and ask for my help. And that's what Father God does for us. He is behind us 100%. And David knew that. He knew it so well and intimately and deeply that he was willing to face a giant that was taunting the entire Israelite army. That's security, church. And I'm only on the first point, so let's move on. Number two, fathers motivate, encourage, and inspire. Philippians 4:13, Paul knew this. He said, I can do all things. Say all things. All things. What is all things? It's everything. I mean, that's insane. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That is security. That is knowing your father. My God is so good. My God is so for me. My God is so powerful that I can do all things through him. That is power. And the more we get to know our Father, the more we get to know that He is for us, not against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? The more we know that Dad is for us, the more we will take the risks that faith is calling us into. Amen? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Why could Paul say that? Because he knew a father who was behind him. And let me just say this to fathers, new or old. Fathers, encourage, motivate, inspire your kids so they believe the same thing. That they can face the world and see it as their oyster. I can do anything. I can take this world on. I can do anything because my dad says I can. Hey, that is what a father's role is. It's making them believe that nothing is impossible. You know, I would love to know what Elon Musk's father was like. Because that guy believes nothing is impossible. Literally, he wants to go and colonize Mars and he's not working for NASA. He sees NASA have like halved their budget in the 90s. They then halved it again in the noughties. They're probably about to halve it again. And he's like, there is no chance for NASA to go and colonize Mars. I am going to start my own company. I am going to get rich. And I am going to go colonize Mars on my own. And he didn't tell anyone because he knew people would think he was crazy. So he started off by building up lots of money. And when he got lots of money, then he said, right, we're going to start testing rockets and we're going to do this thing. And now everyone's like, my word. Can you imagine what his dad must have been like? I imagine his dad believed in him. And that's what dads should do. Make our kids believe that anything is possible. The next verse is Isaiah 41:10. This is what the Lord says about us. He says, fear not, I am with you. Don't be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Children of God, fear not. Why do we fear? We look at the world, we look at the economy, we look at all the things around us and we fear. And God says to us, fear not. The more you get to know your Father, the less you will fear. Think about that. The more you get to know your Father, the less you will fear. Get to know Him, church. He is good and He loves you. Thirdly, fathers model character. Fathers don't just tell their kids how to do it. They model how to do it. Look at how Jesus responds in John 5:19. Jesus says to them, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Now, obviously we know that this verse is primarily to show us what God is like. Jesus came to show what the Father is like. So Jesus said that so that the disciples and the Pharisees could see, wow, God is actually like this. So Jesus wants to heal the sick on the Sabbath. Jesus wants to feed the poor even though they're not Israelites. Jesus is so good. That is what the Father is like, right? But that's what modeling is all about. When Jesus saw what His Father is like, He modeled it on earth. And we should be able as fathers to live a life of character because church, let me tell you something, your children are watching what you do more than they're listening to what you do. Which is why Paul said in Philippians 3:17, brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example we set for you. That's an incredible thing. He's basically saying, church, look around you. Look for people that you can model this Christian life on. Who can you model your life on? Because you need people to model it on, not just to listen to. Amen? That's the role of a father. A father models character. Fourthly, fathers provide. Matthew 6:25-31, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, etc. jump down to 26. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I love how Jesus brings it back to our identity, how valuable we are. You know the parable of the pearl of great price, the treasure buried in a field? I love Andrew Farley's interpretation of that, which is that God sold everything he had in heaven to get the treasure he found in a field. He gave everything he had, his only son. He gave it all for you and I. That's how valuable you and I are to him. And I love how Jesus brings it back to value. You see, fatherhood is all about instilling identity. Son, I would do anything for you. I would go the furthest mile for you, son. I would do anything for you because I love you. And that is how valuable you are to me. I love how Jesus brings it back to identity. Church, you are valued. You are so valued that Jesus gave it all for you. You were the treasure buried in a field that God went away and sold everything for that he could dig up and find and show off to the world. That's how valuable you are. And when you understand how valuable you are, you will know that God will provide for you. My gosh, I'm so valuable to you, Father, you will provide. And you know what? I know. Trust me, church. I know the doubts. I took a step of faith going into the marketplace, believing that God called me into the marketplace. Father, you call. And you know how many times I would talk to my dad and say, God, but you called me here. I'm in the marketplace and all I'm doing is getting into debt. I'm not even breaking even. And you called me, Father. And just when I was on the bare bones of my buttocks, I get a phone call literally out the blue. I'm at Spur with my son, and I get a phone call from East Coast Radio, and they are looking for a new desk controller. And it was perfect. And then it was just enough money to keep me above water level. Do you know what I mean? And about a year later, another opportunity comes up, and I applied for this opportunity at East Coast Radio, and I was praying. I promise you, I don't think I've ever declared for something in my own life as much as I did in this scenario. I declared and I declared and I declared. It was like 2 months of interviews and competency tests, and I was declare every day. I would declare. I declare that I will become this, this, and that. This is me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I was declaring like you can't believe. I get an email the next day after all this whole process. I get an email. Sorry, but your application has been declined. And I'm like, oh. You know, you've just been encouraged a year earlier. God provided for this job. And you think, oh my gosh. And you, God, really? Dad, you said you would provide for me. You called me here. What? What am I to do now? Why? Why? Isn't that like your most popular prayer? Why, God? Why? And you know what? Dad's okay with that because he's your dad. He wants you to be real with him and talk to him. Look at how David would cry out to God. The next day, church, I kid you not, I get this email. Literally, I felt like my world had collapsed. I was like, it really felt myth. The next day, I got an email from the USA saying they wanted to take me on in a 1-year contract, freelancing, voiceover, and video work. The next day, I promise you, out the blue. And I've been doing it for 2.5 months now, and I tell you what, it's half the amount of work that this other job that I was declaring for, and it's half the amount of work, but it's about 3/4 of the salary. Hey? I mean, and now, I look back, and I see the guys working in this job at East Coast Radio. It was a video production job. And I see the guys working in this job, and I go, how would I have survived? I'm barely surviving now with 2 kids, waking up early in the morning and doing about 4 or 5 hours of work every day on top of that. How would I have survived moving from finishing up at the breakfast show at 9 o'clock, going through to the video studios, working through till 5 o'clock every day? It would be a 12, 13-hour day every day, probably pushing deadlines after that, how would I have survived with two kids? I look and I go, Father, you are so good. That's God. I'm like, Dad, you are amazing. Friends, I promise you, it has been 4 years of crying out to God for financial breakthrough. And it doesn't just fall in your lap. He provides step by step by step. And you are valuable. You are more valuable than the beautiful birds and animals in his incredible creation. You are more valuable than they. How much more will he provide for you? He is a good dad, and he will provide for you. Don't give up. Amen. And I do all those things just to say, if we bring it back, so we spoke about the Father providing for us. If we talk about fathers, earthly fathers, I'm doing all those things because I want to provide for my son. I would have been able to live off East Coast Radio's salary if it was just me and Kareen. I've got two kids now. I want to provide for them. I want to give them everything. There's something inside of us as dads that wants to give our kids the best. And that is our Father in heaven as well. So fifthly, fathers create platforms for their children to step into their purpose. Fathers create platforms for their children to step into their purpose. I want to show you Psalm 78, verse 2. And it says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn. I love that. The children yet unborn. And arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. And that they should not be like their fathers, stubborn and rebellious. What does that have to do with fathers create platforms for their children to step into their purpose? If you read that psalm, it's all about the next generation. The people of Israel were being encouraged to think about the next generation, and not just their children, but their children's children's children. And church, that is what a father does. It thinks about the future. What kind of world are my kids going to live in? What kind of platform will they have to be launched into their purpose? What possibilities are there? It's all about what lies ahead in their future. You know what, son? The world is crazy. There's so many crazy things in the world. But you know what, son? Daughter, I believe that you can actually make a difference. Don't be discouraged by the bad things in this world. I believe you can make a difference. And if we inspire hope in our kids, we want to build them up to inspire hope in their kids and in their kids. The church should be setting an example for hope for the next generation and the generations after them. It's all about thinking the next generation. That is why I included that psalm in this point, because the psalmist was just thinking about the next generation. So this brings me to part two. Fathers create platforms for their children to step into their purpose. So part two will only be 5 minutes long. Launching, or Father God's launching pad. So we're going to read 2 Peter 1 verse 3, which says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Church, I want to tell you that God has given you everything you need to step into your purpose. Look at the verse again. It says, His divine power has granted to us, has given us all things. Say it again. All things. Say it again. All things. All things pertaining to life and godliness. I'm so glad that the ESV puts life in there. Because if you look at godliness, then that's the thing. The church for so long has just been about godliness and trying to be righteous and trying to live holy. But it's about life. Church is about raising up people who make an impact in the world and about being whole human beings. Right? Church, I want to tell you that you have been given everything you need, not only to be godly, not only to be 100% righteous, but you have been given everything, say everything. Everything, say it again. You have been given everything for life. For life. To live this life and to be successful, Father God has given you everything you need. I don't know if you guys are getting this. You have everything you need. Stop doubting yourself and stop playing down your opportunities. Oh, well, that person got it and that person got it and I'm not good enough and I'm not skilled and I'm the wrong color and I'm the wrong race and I'm the wrong this and I'm the wrong gender. I'm the wrong this. I'm the wrong age. Da, 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 da. I'm wrong. No, you have been given everything for life and godliness. So when we say, Ephesians 2:10, that you have a work to step into, you've been given everything you need to step into that work. That is what Daddy God has done for you and I. He is such a good dad that he has given you, he has placed it in you, within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has given you everything you need to step into that purpose. So let's wrap it up and bring this verse, 2 Peter 1 verse 3, into Ephesians 2. I'm going to read this whole passage because it's such a beautiful verse when placed in its context. You were dead in the trespasses and sins, but God, I love that, but God, being rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, in the spirit, you are in heaven already. You are in heaven already, and you are seated with Christ Jesus in heaven. That is where you are. When you get that revelation, what else is there? You are there. You're in heaven. Now it's trying to figure out how to get where you are in heaven on earth, right? It's trying to bring heaven to earth. You are there already. Now, why has he done that? Why has he already taken you when you were dead in your sins? He raised you up, placed you in the heavenly realm with Christ Jesus. Why? So that in the coming ages, now I love that because that was written 2,000 years ago, which means in the next 10 years, the next 20 years, the next 50 years, the next 500 years, the next 2,000 years, maybe even the next 3,000 years, let's be real here, maybe in the next 3,000 years, let's stop thinking the world's going to end, the world's going to end, and let's just get on with the purposes of God, right? Let's raise up a generation that have hope for the future and not leave the atheists to be hopeful for the future and start colonizing Mars. Let the church rise up and start inspiring hope for the future so that in the coming ages, in the future, which was 2,000 years ago, so that's now, in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He has placed you in Christ Jesus so that he can show the world how good he is and how kind he is and how much he loves his children. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we're going to wrap up with, remember if you were here 5 weeks ago, my version of Ephesians 2 verse 10. And we're going to wrap up with this reading. For we are his achievement, his pride and joy. I love that. Because when I look at Sarah, I look at Joel, they are my achievement. And actually, I didn't do much, but they are my pride and joy. And you know what? In a way, the older they get, the more they rely on me to be shaped and modeled. So in a way, they will become my achievement. We are his achievement, his pride and joy, created in Christ Jesus, positioned for. You have been positioned, placed in this time, in this age, in this country, in this job, positioned for. You've been positioned for business, for employment, enterprising works, which are joyful to do, distinguished, excellent, useful, upright, and honorable to do. Works which God our Father prepared for us beforehand, so that we would make use of opportunities that come our way and thus make our lives full and satisfying. Church, Daddy God has positioned us to step into some seriously good works. He has positioned us and He has launched us into a world that is waiting for secure children who know what their dad is like. Children who step out in faith. Children who aren't afraid. Children who are hopeful. Why? Because they know their God is good. Children who will change the world. And that is our job as fathers. You have a father who loves you unconditionally and believes in you 100%. He has given you everything you need to succeed in this life. Let's stand. I'll leave that line up there, actually. Can you leave that line up for me, Ryan? The last slide. Daddy. Just say Daddy. I just feel like there's some people here who have never called God Daddy. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that He gives us a spirit by which we cry out, Daddy. The direct translation for Abba is Daddy. Just say Daddy. Won't you just all say, let's say it together, Daddy. Daddy. Daddy, we love you. We love you so much, Dad. We are overwhelmed by your goodness and your grace for us. And the hardest thing in this life is figuring out the tension between a physical reality and a spiritual reality. The spiritual reality that you are good and you have placed us in heavenly realms with your Son, Christ Jesus. And the physical reality of crime, of poverty, of financial challenges, of sickness. Daddy, what will you give us strength to face these challenges head on? Give us strength to face these challenges with hope and belief and faith. My prayer is that you would come and make us believe. Help us believe that you are good. Help us believe that you are for us. Inject faith in us this morning. Inject faith in us this morning. Church, I know it's late, but can we sing that song that you're singing right now? It's beautiful. We're just going to sing one more song.
I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakes in the light of the day. I look up in the sky and say, you're beautiful. And galaxies so bright. We are amazed in the light of the stars. They're all proclaiming who you are. You're beautiful. Then you rose again for me. Now you are sitting on your heavenly throne. Soon you will be home. You're beautiful.
Thank you, Father, that the Word of God has come and just reignited a confidence that our God is for us, He's with us, He's in us, He's watching over us. What a great confidence to have in our Heavenly Father. Talk about this generation as a fatherless generation, but that's not true of us standing here this morning. We are fathered, beautifully fathered. James, thanks for a great word this morning. I think to be a good father, you also position yourself as a good son. Good sons make good fathers. Secure sons make good fathers. And as you know, James has been a faithful, good, honoring son in this house. Also made him a good father, spiritually speaking, in the house. And I want to put a challenge out as you go today. Your fathering is not just for your biological sons and daughters. Your fathering is for this new generation.